probably the most recognizable song from what I think is one of the funniest movie musicals that I've ever seen, and certainly one of the funniest stage musicals that I've ever seen. Mel Brooks's The Producers, that is celebrating its 20th anniversary today of opening on Broadway at the St. James Theater. It ran for 2,502 performances and won a record-breaking 12 Tony Awards. Now, before it opened on Broadway, there were 33 previews of the show that took place right here in Chicago over at the Cadillac Palace Theater. And we were lucky enough to be at the opening night for that, but also at several of the performances for The Producers with Mel Brooks. We also, one afternoon, got into the lobby of the Cadillac Palace Theater and sat down with its stars, Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, and also the great Mel Brooks, who talked about converting this movie, this classic comedy, into a stage musical that at the time that we did this interview had never been seen by the public.
How does it feel to be messing with the Mona Lisa?
Messing with the Mona Lisa. You know, I'm writing lyrics now, so that's a wonderful little burst of alliteration. Messing with the Mona Lisa. Yes, I like it.
You've got a masterpiece. You've got
a masterpiece. Film, another ramp.
Messing with the masterpiece Mona Lisa. Yeah, yeah. For the rap version of yourself.
Oh, you know, this is a love letter. The Producers is a love letter to Broadway. So we're not going out of line. We're just expanding it. You know, it was meant to go to heaven, and we've taken it to heaven, you know?
Are you concerned that because there are such aficionados of this film, they know every line, they can recite it, that they're going to feel like you've changed the...
Yeah, I know. It's a problem, but, you know, I mean, but I hope they'll understand and buy they'll get sucked in by all the great new stuff, and they'll forgive us for messing with some of the old stuff, you know, because a musical must make that metamorphosis between film and stage, you know, it has to happen.
You were talking about how David Geffen kind of got the ball rolling with this, although other people had approached you about doing it. What was the creative process like for you? You wrote 14, 15 new songs for this whole thing. When did that explosion of creativity for this whole thing get going?
You know, it's been a long time since I left business, you know. My first movie was The Producers. There was no business attached to it. Pure art, pure joy. I didn't care if they paid me. I just wanted them to do it. My next movie was very much the same. It was a little movie called The 12 Chairs. I did it in Yugoslavia. A novel by Ilfan Petrov that I adapted. And then for a while, for about 5 years, I loved making movies. It was my muse. It was my art. And then after a while, I was in business. What's the next one, Mr. Brooks? And they all stunk until I got to History of the World and I got creative again. You know, it's good to be the king. And then I cooled it for a while because nothing spoke to me. Nothing said to me, you got to do this. This is great. And then the idea of doing The Producers and writing 15 new songs, new melodies, new lyrics. And I was in heaven again. It was like I was born, you know, the muse was alive in me again, you know. So some of the songs are good.
So you wanted to feed your own creative soul.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
you know, we get into this business because we're artists and it's a great joy. And then the minute we're in it, you know, somebody manages us and we get an agent, and then we're booked, and suddenly we're a commodity, and we're no longer an artist, you know. So it's been a long time, and boy, am I happy to be doing what I'm doing again.
To have a project like this with the stars, and I mean, this is
to have
full guns.
To have Nathan Lane as Max Bialystock and Matthew Broderick as Leo Bloom, and Susan Stroman with her magic wand. Stroman is the girl. She's the girl. She puts show, the show, into show business. She gives you all your dreams of glory are right on the stage. She knows that's her job, and she does it. Oh, this has been a honeymoon right from the beginning.
Why did you decide to bring it here first?
To Chicago?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a good question. There's a lot of sophisticated people. When I first did my first movie, The Producers, the original one, it ran for a year in only three places in America and nowhere else. Didn't run anywhere else. It played in New York, in L.A., and Chicago. And it was discovered by the late, great Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert. They were in opposite camps then, the Trib and the Sun-Times. They got together, they took me out to dinner, and they raved about the genius of this movie. And it played here close to a year. So Chicago is producer's town, you know. And there are enough sophisticates here, and now there are enough people who can travel from Indiana, etc., who are not so sophisticated, who will love it as a musical and not be so strict about why did you change this to that, you know. I mean, it's a wonderful melting pot for them.
There must have been a lot of, when the movie first came out, it's too Jewish, it's too controversial,
oh, please.
It's too outrageous. A musical number about Hitler, unbelievable.
Oh, please.
Do you think the climate has changed a lot?
Well, I do. Like I think bad taste is in good taste now. It's taken a long time, but, you know, they finally
caught up
right,
with you, didn't
right. Okay, that's all you're going to say to me. You got one more question left. Quick.
I do have one more question. This is great.
Let me see if I can divine the question.
Okay. You've been asked all these questions a million times. That's
no.
The question is...
Yes. See? I know I get it. Okay. The question is...
This is a great project for you right now. What else do you want to do? What else is burning that creative... This is what I want to do when they write the book on Mel Brooks, some other projects.
I can't tell you. I'm in the very... If you're making love to somebody, it would be inappropriate to think of, well, who's the next one I'm going to jump on? You know what I mean? I mean, it ain't nice. I'm making love to this project. I'm hopelessly head over heels in love with this project.
But so, everybody has a little fantasy about who they're going to jump on next, though.
I'm in the vortex of this. I'm just circling around and, you know, and I'm happy. Wonderful.
When actors start saying it in rehearsal, it starts to be different.
So there you go. Mel Brooks, the great Mel Brooks. He's 94 years old now. When we did this interview, it was February 2001 in the lobby of the Cadillac Palace Theater. The Producers had not even opened its pre-Broadway run yet. I think it was just a few days before the actual pre-Broadway run. And, you know, for those of you who are lucky enough to see it here or in other cities, and, you know, if you got to see it with the original cast with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick, it was stunning. I was able to see it both here in Chicago a few times just because I fell in love with it. And I was kind of curious to see how they were going to develop it as well. It changed a lot from the very first time I saw it. Until I, you know, saw it on Broadway, the director, Susan Stroman, I remember seeing her sitting in the audience taking notes, you know, of the things that she needed to adjust and change. And then the next time I would come and see it, it was slightly different and slightly different till it went to Broadway and won 12 Tony Awards. Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick were also in the lobby of the Cadillac Palace with us that day. We'll share those interviews with you next on WGN. WGN 1051, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN, celebrating the 20th anniversary of the opening of Mel Brooks' The Producer on Broadway. 2 months before that, the pre-Broadway run, the world premiere really, was here in Chicago over at the Cadillac Palace Theater. And that's where we talked with Mel, and that's where we talked with Nathan Lane, the star of the show. who was telling us about the funny way Mel Brooks got him to be involved in it.
Because he wanted me to do the producers. But yeah, he pretended to pull out a contract out of his pants. But it actually wasn't. But we had already been, you know, involved. We were doing a reading of it, and we had met a few years earlier, actually. And we had met in Paris. Mel and I met in Paris. And I was at the Ritz, and I went down to the pool, and there were two people in the pool, and I couldn't see them. You know, they were swimming, and then I got in, and it was Mel and Anne Bancroft. So, and I had met them briefly after a Neil Simon play I was doing, and so, and he mentioned that I had heard that he was doing, working on this musical of the movie, and he said, I would like you to, you know, play Bialystok, you know, and I said, well, I would be honored and thrilled, and, you know, and then, you know, he continued to work on it, and then eventually it all came together. And, you know, and I think, and then eventually Susan Stroman got involved, and so it was in very good hands. And I think people will be surprised at how tuneful and funny the songs are, and he's written a really wonderful score.
Does the aura of Zero Mostel follow you a little bit with this? I mean, this is a role that's so...
Wait, it's coming towards me now!
There he is!
It's a big sweaty aura with a huge comb over. You know, no one loves Zero as much as I love Zero. And so, you know, and he's like Gleason, like a lot of these guys that I loved. You know, everybody influences you. It is, you know, it's kind of coincidental that this is like the second role I've taken on that he did. But, I mean, actors are in the theater anyway. You're always compared to whoever did it last, whether it's Hamlet or Richard III or Max Bialystok. And so, but his are big shoes to fill. And, you know, for me, it's Zero and Gene will always be Max Bialystok and Leo Bloom. And Matthew and I are borrowing these roles.
Do you play him differently than Zero? Significantly differently?
Obviously. You know what? That's, I can't tell because I'm doing it. It'll be for other people to say, and I'm sure they will. They will be comparing us.
But yeah, you know the way that Nathan Lane played it was pure genius, absolute genius. Ditto for Matthew Broderick, who took on the role of Leo Bloom. The role that was held by Gene Wilder in the motion picture version. I wanted to share a little bit of the conversation that we had with Matthew Broderick right now. We're just getting the recordings. These are old recordings from like 20 years ago, but here's a little of my chat 20 years ago with Matthew Broderick.
I don't know, a month or two. We rehearsed here and then we shot a little bit here, but we shot most of it in L.A. All the interiors and a lot of the exteriors are L.A. I don't remember how long we shot here, to tell you the truth. Yeah,
it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Any special memories, though, of being here? Almost everybody will say that they were downtown the day that you guys did that parade.
That parade, yeah. Well, that was really thrilling. That was something like, they say there's something like 10,000 people in that shot, the last shot, you know. We shot it on two weekends. The first weekend there was a real parade going on, and we borrowed that parade, sort of. And then to get another crowd, they had some, like, they handed out T-shirts or something like that, and they ended up getting more than the real parade. They got way more than they thought would come. So I think it was like 10,000 people, and it was incredible. I'll never forget that.
Any fun or especially good Chicago memory stories?
Well, you know, when you're shooting a movie, you're like working 12 or 13 hours and then going to your hotel and eating and going to bed. So in a weird way, you don't have that much time to know even where you are.
Yeah.
But I remember a lot of good food, and I liked the vibe of the city, you know, and I always did. I was here a few times when I was a kid. My father was in plays here a lot, actually. And I always liked it. It kind of reminds me of New York in a slightly more manageable way, but it has, if you grew up in New York, it's big gray buildings and, you know, and a river, and it feels sort of comfortable. I like it.
So how is your Leo Bloom different from Gene Wilder's?
Handsome, you know.
Better singer, apparently.
We'll never know. Gene Wilder sang a little bit in Young Frankenstein. If you're blue and you don't know where, and he's very good. No, I'm uglier. I don't know. We look different. And he's, I don't know how it's different. I'm trying to make it my own as much as I can, which I can't because I grew up on, I've seen the movie a million times, and Gene Wilder is one of my idols. So I've seen Young Frankenstein 30, 40 times. I've seen Silver Streak endlessly. When I started acting, I honestly thought that was the kind of career. I thought that was just a perfect career, what Gene Wilder has had. So, I'll try to make it my own, only because if I were to do an imitation of him, it would just be a less good version. So,
yeah, there's a little bit of our conversation with Matthew Broderick from 20 years ago, February of the year 2001, when The Producers, the musical, world premiered at the Cadillac Palace Theater over on Randolph Street here in Chicago. And the first reference that he was talking about, he didn't remember, you know, exactly how much time they shot here and the parades. That, of course, was for the classic Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We'll post those full interviews up online from 20 years ago as we celebrate today the exact 20th anniversary of The Producers opening on Broadway. We got it here in Chicago first, but it was 20 years ago today that it opened at the St. James Theater and ran for 2,502 performances and won a record, still record-breaking, 12 Tony Awards. There are just great songs and great moments. Truly one of the most entertaining musicals, I think, that I've ever seen in my life. Some good stuff. Little theater history for you here today. Still to come on the program today, we've got more A-listers of the more current variety in the way of Vin Diesel talking about his brand new movie, Fast and Furious 9, F9, as it's being called. If you're, don't have enough time to actually say the words Fast and Furious. We'll not only get to Vin Diesel, but also his new co-star in the movie, John Cena, WWE star. He's also co-starring for the first time in the franchise. We'll share those with you coming up in our next half hour as well.